And those are just the bacteria that inhabit your skin. There are trillions more tucked away in your gut and nasal passages, clinging to your hair and eyelashes, swimming over the surface of your eyes, drilling through the enamel of your teeth. Your digestive system alone is host to more than 100 trillion microbes of at least 400 types. Some deal with sugars, some with starches, some attack other bacteria. A surprising number, like the ubiquitous intestinal spirochetes, have no detectable function at all. They just seem to like to be with you. Every human body consists of about 10 quadrillion cells, but about 100 quadrillion bacterial cells. They are, in short, a big part of us. From the bacteria's point of view, of course, we are a rather small part of them. Because we humans are big and clever enough to produce and utilize antibiotics and disinfectants, it is easy to convince ourselves that we have banished bacteria to the fringes of existence. Don't you believe it? Bacteria may not build cities or have interesting social lives, but they will be here when the sun explodes. This is their planet, and we are on it only because they allow us to be. Bacteria, never forget, got along for billions of years without us. We couldn't survive a day without them. They process our wastes and make them usable again. Without their diligent munching, nothing would rot. They purify our water and keep our soils productive. Bacteria synthesize vitamins in our gut, convert the things we eat into useful sugars and polysaccharides, and go to war on alien microbes that slip down our gullet. We depend totally on bacteria to pluck nitrogen from the air and convert it into useful nucleotides and amino acids for us. It is a prodigious and gratifying feat. As Margulis and Sagan note, to do the same thing industrially, as when making fertilizers, manufacturers must heat the source materials to 500 degrees centigrade and squeeze them to 300 times normal pressures. Bacteria do it all the time without fuss. And thank goodness, for no larger organism could survive without the nitrogen they pass on. Above all, microbes continue to provide us with the air we breathe and to keep the atmosphere stable. Microbes, including the modern versions of cyanobacteria, supply the greater part of the planet's breathable oxygen. Algae and other tiny organisms bubbling away in the sea blow out about 150 billion kilos of the stuff every year. And they are amazingly prolific. The more frantic among them can yield a new generation in less than 10 minutes. Clostridium perfringens, the disagreeable little organism that causes gangrene, can reproduce in 9 minutes. At such a rate, a single bacterium could theoretically produce more offspring in 2 days than there are protons in the universe. Given an adequate supply of nutrients, a single bacterial cell can generate 280,000 billion individuals in a single day, according to the Belgian biochemist and Nobel laureate Christian De Duve. In the same period, a human cell can just about manage a single division. About once every million divisions, they produce a mutant. Usually this is bad luck for the mutant. Change is always risky for an organism, but just occasionally, the new bacterium is endowed with some accidental advantage, such as the ability to elude or shrug off an attack of antibiotics. With this ability to evolve rapidly goes another, even scarier advantage. Bacteria share information. Any bacterium can take pieces of genetic coding from any other. Essentially, as Margulis and Sagan put it, all bacteria swim in a single gene pool. Any adaptive change that occurs in one area of the bacterial universe can spread to any other. It's rather as if a human could go to an insect to get the necessary genetic coding to sprout wings or walk on ceilings. It means that, from a genetic point of view, bacteria have become a single superorganism. Tiny, dispersed, but invincible. They will live and thrive on almost anything you spill, dribble, or shake loose. Just give them a little moisture, as when you run a damp cloth over a counter, and they will bloom as if created from nothing. They will eat wood, the glue in wallpaper, the metals in hardened paint. Scientists in Australia found microbes known as Thiobacillus concretivorans that lived in, indeed could not live without, concentrations of sulfuric acid strong enough to dissolve metal. A species called Micrococcus radiophilus was found living happily in the waste tanks of nuclear reactors, gorging itself on plutonium and whatever else was there. Some bacteria break down chemical materials from which, as far as we can tell, they gain no benefit at all. They have been found living in boiling mud pots and lakes of caustic soda, deep inside rocks at the bottom of the sea, in hidden pools of icy water in the McMurdo dry valleys of Antarctica, and 7 miles down in the Pacific Ocean, where pressures are more than 1,000 times greater than at the surface, or equivalent to being squashed beneath 50 jumbo jets. Some of them seem to be practically indestructible. Deinococcus radiodurans is, according to The Economist, almost immune to radioactivity. Blast its DNA with radiation and the pieces immediately reform, like the scuttling limbs of an undead creature from a horror movie. Perhaps the most extraordinary survival yet found was that of a streptococcus bacterium that was recovered from the sealed lens of a camera that had stood on the moon for 2 years. In short, there are few environments in which bacteria aren't prepared to live. They are finding now that when they push probes into ocean vents so hot that the probes actually start to melt, there are bacteria even there, Victoria Bennett told me. In the 1920s, two scientists at the University of Chicago, Edson Baston and Frank Greer, announced that they had isolated from oil wells strains of bacteria that had been living at depths of 2,000 feet. The notion was dismissed as fundamentally preposterous. There was nothing to live on at 2,000 feet, and for 50 years it was assumed that their samples had been contaminated with surface microbes. We now know that there are a lot of microbes living deep within the Earth, many of which have nothing at all to do with the organic world. They eat rocks, or rather, the stuff that's in rocks, iron, sulfur, manganese, and so on. And they breathe odd things too, iron, chromium, cobalt, even uranium. Such processes may be instrumental in concentrating gold, copper, and other precious metals, and possibly deposits of oil and natural gas. It has even been suggested that their